Oh, the summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go?
Hello, welcome into episode 131 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise. I've got extra dogs this episode still. We're still dog sitting, Puppy and Charlie. And today I've got, coming up, swap section, cast your clute, me section, and the shoppy section. I sponsor this for my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram. I'll let you know what crackers in Caithness this week. This episode is dedicated to Richard's great aunt Edith, who passed away this week. She was a wonderful person to spend time with, and the world is a much less wittier place in her passing. And I'm going to play a Daisy Giggle just for her, because I know she very much enjoyed hearing the actual real Daisy Giggle when we used to go down and visit them every year.
Hello
section. A sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now and been with me forever listeners. I very much appreciate you tuning in, and I hope you're still enjoying yourself. A sandy hello to new group members, Mylene P, who hails from Maylands, Perth, Western Australia, and Victoria Blue, who hails from California. And I think that you two are actually probably closer to each other than you are to me. Prove me wrong if you're not. Random hellos are to Jamie and Steve, who continue to be in my thoughts and prayers. Jamie, I do owe you a short email. Bobby, how are you doing? Memphis Holly, Twins of Ellen and Jan, Christy O'Malley, and Arlene.
The swap section.
Swap. We have had a swap going for Terry Pratchett theme, and the 15th of June was the first quarter check-in. Everybody checked in lovely, which is perfect, so thank you. And you crack on with cranking on. June the 30th is the midway check-in. July the 13th is the final quarter check-in, and July the 28th is the final shipping deadline. Packages must be shipped by the 28th of July. Now, I can't actually tell you about my working on the swap, which is really not good for giving you podcast news now, is it? However, in true Louise and Terry Pratchett stylee, there is comedy and mirth and merriment with coming up with my ideas. I am making the big item, which is going to take way longer than the prescribed 3 to 4 hours in the rules. I've been trying to do some every day, so it is growing, albeit slower than I wanted it to, but I have another couple of things, one I'm definitely going to make and another I'm hoping to make but may end up buying instead. Yeah, cryptic. That's not very good, is it? However, I very much enjoyed researching the things I was wanting to make and do for the swap. I was on the computer all day last week trying to decide on what to make, what to buy with my swappy in mind, and I'm hoping to come up with some things that she will like. And I hope that you other swappy ones are enjoying the revisitation of all things Terry Pratchett Discworld. Artwork for the last book, The Shepherd's Crown, has been released, and it has the Knack McFeagles on the cover, so hooray for that coming out later in the year.
Coming up, it's
near. Mary's Patch are holding a second annual student patchwork exhibition on the 4th and 5th of July at the West Carse Public Hall in Glencairse, that's Perthshire, and the entry is £3, which includes tea, coffee and home baking. It's told that if anybody from Caithness Quilters, this was an announcement there, who was down on their holly bags or travelling about, and found themselves in Glencairse, we're more than welcome to go along. And I'm telling you, because some of you actually live down that way, and all the profits are going to Alzheimer's Scotland. So what with the Terry Pratchett theme swap, I thought that was quite timely and appropriate. Cast your clute. There is a phrase in Scotland saying, "Dinna cast your clute until me is out," which roughly translates to, don't take any cloths or clothes until the end of May has passed, dear, because it can be very cold up until June. Well, not this year. This year, June is Baltic in the north of Scotland, and I'm picking up most of the UK. We are having a colder springtime and technically now summer. We're 3 days off the summer solstice and we're still waiting for it to warm up. However, in crafting terms, I'm talking about dishcloths. A clout is a cloth, and I mentioned a few episodes back now that my dishcloths need renewing because I use a lot of them. I'm quite sold on this bizarre notion of knitting something that I will use to clean my minging dishes. If you have not yet tried using a knitted dishcloth, then I thought this could be your chance. So I'm going to open a thread on all things dishcloths. There are, of course, hunters and hunters and hunters of patterns, free and otherwise, on Ravelry. And really, all you need or doing is knitting or crocheting a square of cloth using cotton yarn. There's the books, there's Dishcloth Diva by Dave Buckingham, Trendy Knit Dishcloths by Evelyn Clark, and a plus 19 other pages of dishcloths with the title on Amazon. I did think about doing a swap with this, but whilst I'm not going to organise it, feel free if you want to sort yourselves out in the thread if you like. This is more of a knit along or crochet along. It's a prompt to you if you need a new one, or you have one languishing in a project bag somewhere, or you've never done one before, or it's your main thing, then let us know which is your favourite design, which is the one you go back to, which is the one that you like scrubbing the spaghetti bolognese off with the best. For complete newbies thinking, I'm not going to use that to scrub my tomato-based dinner off my pan, then treat it as a chance to learn the new steps that you have been wondering about, because I was in your shoes. I couldn't see the point of this, but I am comforted. And you can use it to learn the new stitch that you've been wondering about, say our new technique like Ondralock, or work out the interesting pattern in that new cable jumper that you want to cast on. It's just an EDPD 6 or 8 inch square on reasonably sized needles, so it's soon whip up. I like to crochet mine as a rule, but I never seem to make them big enough, so I'd quite like a bit of guidance. What's your size you like to make, both knit and crochet, oh experts of dishcloth? For you in the warmer climate, then it's a chance to use something that won't make your hands sweat or your legs sweat, because the cloth never gets too big that sits in your lap. And then the cotton wicks away the sweat, which wool can make. Can't say I'm having that problem this year at all. Plus, it's portable. I have a ball of cotton yarn in a small zip project bag, which is the one GMB3TCD had made, and it has room for the yarn and a crochet hook, and not much more. And it's grand for grabbing as I'm running out the door with bairns to wait for them at swimming lessons, and it fits quite nicely into my handbag. So, if you want to cast your clout this June, and really encourage the summer out of its hidey hole, then go onto the thread and let's dishcloth this spring into submission. And that's Poppy snoring, by the way.
The beaker section.
Shout it from the top of the barn, my owl's jumper is finished. Twit and two. Ah, you've even worn it out in the wild a couple of times. Yes, even in June, because it's still cold, as said previously. Yes, I wrote this in slightly different days. I didn't read after when I read before. This is the Owl's Jumper by Kate Davies. And for those of you who don't know the pattern is, it is knitted from the bottom up in chunky yarn with owl cable designs around the yoke and short row shaping at the neck. I myself use new Lanark Chunky in the colour name Pebble as my yarn of choice. I had gotten it to the second armhole last we spoke, I think, and I was trying to decide if the arms were long enough. And I was sitting with the body on me and the arms on me, and I reminded myself as a bad-looking Cyberman, or a really amateur production of the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz. I was happy with the perceived results, so attached the arms and cranked on with the cable pattern for the owls. It's only 19 rows once you start the owls, and you really can't stop. It's both Moorish because your owls appear, oh look, they've got feet, and I'll almost get to the beak, and now they've got beak, and then they had eyes, and then there's the head, and oh, it's all done. And you can't feel that you can stop because you think, oh, if I come back to this, I don't know where I'm going to be. And there it's there, and it's swivelling 360 degree glory. Now, I know owls can't actually do that. I just like the thought that I used to think they could. It's a myth, I'm afraid. Owls' heads can go really far round, but not all the way round, or their head would indeed fall off. or they would just break their head, their spine. So this is the next best thing. Owls facing out from all over you, so they have a 360 vision from you on your shoulders. Because you never know when your owl predator will come and get you, you know, brandishing scissors. Or worse, Velcro. I did enjoy this pattern. Mum was being shown it when I was at the... And all you have to do now is graft the underarm of the sleeves to the body. And she said, it's really nice, but I'm not keen on the holes up your back. I says, well, that's the increase part. And I have double checked it. That's the way you do it. As in, make one by lifting the bar below the stitches, which does create a reasonably sized hole when you're working in chunky yarn. So she said, I think I like them closed up, if you like. And I says, well, how? And she passed her the bodkin as fast as an owl swooping on its prey. So she showed me. So you start there, you thread down the way over that bar between the stitch, you go up here and come back down under that bar. Yeah, that's what I thought. But I think I have to learn how to do it myself by doing it myself. And by this time she'd finished. I let her. She then took it home to graft the underarms and ta-da! The jumper part is finished. And I have already woven in the other ends. Technically not sewn on the buttons for the owl's eyes, but I have sorted out the buttons and I'm going for some dark grey, almost black shiny ones. I was going to do it yesterday at Textiles, but Textiles got cancelled, so I went and did some socialising instead because my aunties are up visiting my mum this week. I even gave my mum the rest of the ball of new lanark, which was left over to make one of the hats that she's trying to make one a month for this year, as a thank you. As it's chunky yarn, Mum's pretty much made half of it already. My thoughts on the yarn. It's crunchy and sturdy, and there is the odd imperfection slubby bit to it too. There's guard hairs falling off, but it knits up really nicely. Once I actually wash it, and well, I will have to at some point, I'm hoping it'll soften a bit as I have to wear a full sleeve top underneath or the scratchy yarn gets scratchy. And then Daisy was cuddling in, she said, Mum, that jumper's itchy to me. I've often thought of what I do to counteract the scratchy, but it's never occurred to me that other people would get bothered by it. So beware of all you who have to squash up to other people on the tube or the bus or the train. You're scratchy to their itchy when you come running down the alley. Anyone get that reference? Both of them? Points if you do. Now, I have a jumper. I don't want to have to wash. I don't like hand washing. And I struggle hand washing big items. I'm too frightened to try the washing machine, even on the wool cycle. You know, just in case it does out all the hard work I did making it. So it will get the occasional wash and I will attempt to keep clean inside it. But I will use my soak wool wash that I bought at Edinburgh. It's not so much the putting it in and getting it soapy, it's more the rinsing it out and squeezing out the water, because it's quite heavy and it'd probably be very good physio and exercise for me, but, well, I'm small and meek, and anyway, moving on. I am chuffed with the jumper, so I will put up with that little challenge. I know a few people have knit the owls in a few colours, and I think I'd quite like to do that in time, but as it is, I need a break from the big project. So there I was one day, having taken out the Tilly Thomas lace shawl and supposedly going to cast it on again. I had nothing on the needles. Not a dishcloth, not a lace shawl, not a cardigan, not a thing, nothing. It was bizarre. It was liberating, but in the same respect, daunting. What out of all my library or beyond would I knit? So, I went to Infinity, and I got the Men I Hoon I... I'm only saying it wrong because I know she's going to look out. Don't say it like this, you say it like that. She actually did send me the... phonic way of saying it too. The Shawlette by M. Ski Knits, or from With Mail Videocast. And I first saw this Shawlette when she talks to you through it through her videos 1 and 2, where she actually gives you the patterns on the video. And you can buy the pattern itself all prettily laid out in Ravelry for the measly price of £3, which is nice to have it written out really, because you can't always keep going back to a video unless you've actually sort of written down what she said. It's a garter stitch body started from a tab start, and then you have an applied edge. And I'm using a really lovely colour of Insect Green, which is in the Skinny Bugga Sock yarn. I'm going to spell that B-U-G-G-A as in bug. I always think it sounds like swearing, and it is not. By Sanguine Griffin. This is from the lovely Stacey Yarn Salad fame, gifted me alongside some lighter green yarn from the Gayest Colourways. I know that they were very precious presents. So far, I am nearly at the border, which is where I'm going to swap to the lighter green of the Gayest Colours. And hopefully I'll have enough to then do the opposite way back round of the border in the dark green and the body in the light green for a second one. And I'm nearly at the border, just a few more long rows to go, and then it's bang! I like this type of border. It's where you have, say, 200 stitches on the long circular needle, and then you cast on, say, 20 stitches on, and you work these 20 stitches back and forward along the 200 stitches. And when you get to the main part of the body, you knit these two together, and you work sideways, and you do 20 stitches on 200 rows. Does that make sense? I hope you can understand if you've never done one of these before, but if you have, you'll know exactly what I mean. Because you get away from the long rows of doom, even though you have way more rows to do. Anyway, so far I am enjoying it because it's fast building up and it's garter, 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 rabbit, 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 and it can be done anywhere. And it has been, actually. So the other stuff, yeah, I have done stuff, but it's secret stuff. So I'm afraid I have to leave it there. I've got the next four Terry Pratchett books, and I've just read Sorcery today, and I ordered the next four, so we've got Sorcery, Weird Sisters, Pyramids, and Guards Guards to go, and we're almost finished The Light Fantastic with Sandy, so I'm kind of reading ahead. I'll have to keep going back to it.
Shoppy section.
Shoppy section. The shop is well stocked. There are currently some McLean, Gordon, Farquharson, Robertson, Ancient Macmillan and Ancient Fraser bags. We've got Weathered Fraser bags in as well. And this is from the tartan that is the closest you can get to the actual programme. Now, the programme has licensed the tartan to the stars because you can actually license a tartan, which is a very bizarre thing. It's a copyrighted type of thing. And they have got it specifically for that. But, you know, I can't tell the difference. I'm sure Angela of Scotch Tweed would maybe be able to. But for us mere mortals, it looks pretty similar. So it has hand-dyed insides of light blue. And there's a mushroom backing to it. And for you Outlander fans, you can get these in my shop. If you feel you want to contribute to my continued running of the podcast but get stuff back as well, then please do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/KeithnessCraft. A big thank you to all you people who have bought stuff. There are still two tote bags, KeithnessCraft tote bags in there, and they have gussets. They're actually really good. I've been using mine quite a bit. And Yarns from the Plain Nick described them as one of the classiest bags she has seen in a long time. What a cool quote, isn't it? And thank you very much to the Knitmore girls for being saying lovely things about my bags and promoting them on their podcast and my podcast itself, which was really nice. I didn't know Jasmine actually listened, so hello Jasmine! And hello Genevieve, you lovely little girly. And hello to the lovely Gigi. Oh, not worthy.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah.
So, blah, blah, blah section. Thank you very much for listening to this cold tune day. It's ridiculous. I appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on. My email is keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as KeithnessCraft. You can access the Flickr photos from LouiseG2010 or via the Podbean site as www.keithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and that's where you can get all the episodes from the podcast there, and that link is in all the show notes. The music was from Mark Gunn's Wild Mountain Time, and this was from www.musicalley.com. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting.
We'll all go together to Powild Mountain Time. All around, will you go? I say go. Will you go? I say go. Will you go?
I'm getting shorter.